Blog Talk Radio.
I want to thank you for joining us again today, October 21st, 2018, at 5 p.m. Let us pray first. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your anointing. Father, guide us in this conversation. We pray that it open eyes, open ears to see and hear what you have to say. Father, use me as your vessel. Help us to bring the truth. Help us to be the truth that you are disseminating to the world. Father, I pray for your guidance and for your protection. Be with us now as we perform your work. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Okay, this show is based on Hosea 4:6, which says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." And so we've been providing knowledge here at the Prophetic Hour since, I think it was 2008 or 2009 that we performed our first show here. And we are not going to waste your time. We are giving you what is needed. The Prophetic Hour is all about advancing the kingdom, truly advancing the kingdom, by providing knowledge that is not being provided, knowledge that is needed in order for one to reach the growth that is necessary according to God. And so that is our purpose here at the Prophetic Hour. Today's show was inspired when I was taking my daily walk, which is when I am inspired quite often. And it's called God's Ordinances Are Not to Harm, But to Guide You. Now, a quick word on that. The ordinances are what God orders, and these, you are not, God does not have laws and commandments to restrict you or to harm you or to make life more difficult. We sometimes want to think this, especially in our early stages of life, in our infant stage of Christianity. You can feel burdened by the commandments and some of the laws. So I thought I'd address that. They are not burdening. And this is something that we need to address. Our key verse is Exodus 12:24. It says, "Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants." Now, let's first define what an ordinance is. An ordinance is, it says, your dictionary says, is an authoritative order, a decree, a order, edict, injunction, fiat, command, rule, directive, and mandate. Now, let's put that in perspective from a biblical standpoint. The biblical definition also includes his commandments. And of course, the word command is what they're referring to in your dictionary. So it's his commandments and his laws, as well as his rules and regulations, statutes, all of those things that God orders us to recognize and to do, they're all included in that word ordinance for your record. So ordinance means the orders of God in a short. So I may, through this conversation, I may use the word laws or commandment to instead of using the word ordinance, but I'll be referring to all of the things that God has ordered us to recognize. So we've got that out of the way. Now there's a second verse that I want to present in addition to your the main verse, Exodus 12:24, and that is Ephesians 2:15, and it says, "Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace." Okay. I always like to get the definitions out of the way first, and the verses that are pivotal in our discussion, because it makes things more plainer as we go through our conversation, our teaching. Now, God did not create ordinances, laws and commandments and so forth. He didn't create them to restrict us. We have a tendency to believe that God created a bunch of rules to restrict us. This is why we see so many people these days that are rebellious, that violate God's laws as if they mean anything, as if they don't mean anything. The markings of the body, the excessively, the whatever it may be. I see people every day running red lights all day long, not just one time, but in fact, practically here in this city, Memphis, Tennessee, almost every time I get to a light, someone runs that light from the four sides at a four-way stop. They always speeding. It seems like three-fourths of the people are in a dire hurry. They're in such a hurry. I often tell my wife, or they must be going to take a baby to a hospital. The wife must be pregnant, and they're taking her to the hospital. So most people look at the laws, God's laws, and his commandments and his rules as if they don't exist. They only stop to obey when they think they may get in trouble. I think most people, if it wasn't for commandments during this time, that most people would go buck wild. You see. So God didn't create laws just to be restricting us, just to make life difficult. God had to create a ground floor. And this ground floor, it keeps mankind from slipping below the level that he has created man at. It keeps us from going below a safety net of integrity. It's a foundation. He did not create them just so that he would have the last word judging us, sinning by, you know, creating commandments, laws and regulations and statutes and so forth, punishing us in hell for our wrongdoings. No, God did not create those laws for that reason. You would think so, because religion has led us to believe this, has inferred that this is, you know, the reason for ordinances. But it's not. God did this for our good. You have to have a floor. You have to set a standard. Or some people would go below an animal in their actions. You can see that these days, the way people are, you have a smaller number that are that are righteous now. And so there are many people that would go totally buck wild. They would murder on a whim. They would kill. I mean, they would steal. They would. There is no limit to what some people would do in this period we're in now. So God has created ordinances to establish a floor or a foundation for living. You see, this floor creates order so you don't live in chaos. And chaos is one of those words that fall under darkness. That means no, just total uncontrolled and unrestricted. So ordinances create a guideline for living that directs your life activity in a constructive and a positive direction. They point you in the right direction when coordinated, in particular if they're coordinated with the entire design of the way, which is the way of truth, that God has put into our manual, the Bible, which is our manual. God did not create his laws, commandments, regulations, decrees, or any of the other ordinances to harm you nor to restrict you. So, because we don't have adequate knowledge and, or most importantly, or maturity, we see them as restricting when they're there for our own good. See, many people have a rebellious mind. So there are other concepts in place to gauge you in the right behavior, but they're founded on top of his ordinances, which is his commandments, laws, rules and regulations and statutes. So you see, we've been given the wrong impression. We've been taught wrong in the churches of the past and in many of the churches today, that your ordinances, your commandments, laws, rules, and so forth, are there for your good. God does not want to restrict you. He do not want to bind you in this life. He wants you to learn the discipline of order. Now, as I said earlier, you see, we've been taught wrong, and in fact, 50% of Jesus' teaching has been left out of churches because they've created their own doctrine. Churches, for the most part, most of them, have created their own doctrine, which is outside of what Jesus taught. Many have, these days, they have dropped the practices that the church was assigned to perform. Every church service should include certain activities. And you don't see that in churches now. In many of these churches, you'll find at least one, two, three, or even four or five of the assigned tasks, the order of worship, the things that are part of the order of worship. You'll find as many as 50% to 75% of those things not being done in churches. In fact, recently you'll find a lot of churches don't do communion. They're starting to drop communion. So these things are there for a reason. They implement certain positive things, certain blessings upon your life. You see. So what you're hearing, you're not hearing the true gospel. Much of which you're seeing a lot of false Christianity these days. You see, you're hearing a lot of preaching, but remember, Jesus mostly taught the people. Jesus was a teacher. He mostly taught the people and not preached to them. And in that teaching was this knowledge, was the knowledge which included the commandments, the ordinances, which are the foundation for living. Jesus actually coupled his teaching with demonstrations of God's power. And if you never heard that expression before, demonstration of God's power means that you perform healing, you perform deliverance, you do miracles, you allow God, the Holy Spirit, to operate in the church. And in the process of God's demonstration of power, the people, the knowledge that God presents to his people is reinforced. There are, and this is a key statement here, this is a pivotal statement in this teaching, there are some principles such as faith and grace that comes to mind. Specifically, there are others, but specifically faith and grace that must be witnessed and not taught. You cannot get people to understand. You can give them knowledge, but the understanding cannot be recognized in a person of faith and grace without witnessing faith and grace in operation. A demonstration of faith and grace is necessary to fully comprehend faith and grace. And this is why the demonstration of God's power, which 2 Corinthians 2:4, I think it is, speaks of, it's necessary as one of the components of a church service. You can teach faith all day long, but until you see faith in action, you will not comprehend it or fully comprehend it. You see the miracles, the signs and the wonders, the deliverance and the healing, when it is witnessed, then you truly understand, you truly comprehend these higher principles, these higher, this higher knowledge. So, the witness is made to fully understand the higher principles of God, and that's because the witness sees the faithfulness of God, and they see the prophet, apostle, or whomever, has to show faith in order to demonstrate the power of God. He's got to have faith, and the person that he is applying healing, miracles, or whatever, signs and wonders to, they must receive it in faith. And so there is a comprehension that takes place on a level that teaching cannot perform. There are some things, like I say, you can't fully comprehend without seeing it in action. You must see an example. You must see an actual event take place to fully comprehend these higher principles. So there's a reason for everything Jesus taught and everything he exampled, but they're deviating from his teachings. But there's a reason for everything. Now, I want to make a statement at this point that the ordinances of God, a person that can apply the ordinances of God, who work to apply his ordinances, his laws, commandments, statutes, and so forth, that person is showing real maturity. You have to have a level of maturity to apply the ordinances, to be conscious of his ordinances. So that's all I'm going to say about that for now. So when we stay under the rules of God, we are protected from the evil one. This is another reason for his laws. When you stay under the rules of God, we are protected from evil. And this is what is being stated in 2 Kings 17:37. It says, "And the statutes and the ordinances and the law and the commandment which he wrote for you, you shall observe to do forevermore, and you shall not fear other gods." So this is what this verse is saying. These evil ones, these other gods, when you step outside of God's laws, his principles, his ordinances, then you are subjective under their powers. You see, that's how that works. The laws of God offer protection from harm. The fallen gods cannot touch you, nor their sorcery, witches, demons, if your action is under God's ordinances. In Ephesians 2:15, it says, "You gain peace with yourself when you operate under ordinances of God." This is because you become one with yourself. This is taking away strife within your mind. This is gaining a single-mindedness, and this increase your ability to see and discern, which gives you an advantage in your daily living. I'll say that again. When you act these laws, these ordinances out, you become single-minded, which this is the increasing of your consciousness, which increases your ability to see and discern, which gives you an advantage in daily living. So in conclusion, God's laws are not to harm you, but they create a foundation for living. God did not create ordinances to restrict, inhibit, or to punish you, but to guide you. It is a sign of maturity when one appreciates God's laws. Many misunderstand the reason for the laws of God, but they are there for your protection, prosperity, directives. These laws point you into the right path, giving you victory, prosperity, and protection. I want to thank you for joining us here today at the Prophetic Hour. Join us again next Sunday as we continue this journey. May God bless you and keep you. We'll see you again next Sunday.